Okay. Before we have our quiet time, let's all get on the same page. If you're in the Sparkly Book, it's page 335, second full paragraph. If you're in the second edition, it's page 289, paragraph 2. If you're in the first edition, it's page 269, the second paragraph. If you're in the JCIM, it's page 140, the seventh paragraph. And if you are in the CIMS edition, it is page 281, paragraph 33. Okay. Let's take a few moments to be quiet together. Okay. Good evening. And welcome to everyone who's joining us on the internet. You need to be reminded that you have a friend. You need to remind yourself daily that you have a friend. And you need to remember that this friend has a God-given task. And that task is to release you into your freedom, release you into your birthright, release you into the conscious experience of what you really are. The thing to remember is that in that release, something will be undone. Something will be undone that never happened. Now, we've got to make that make sense. Let us suppose that you've gone to a hypnotist's show. And let's say that you were invited to come up on the stage, and the hypnotist said to you, after hypnotizing you, that the next time you said the word television, an apple would appear on the end of your nose, and absolutely nothing you could do would make it disappear. In fact, he tells you that this has always been the case with everybody. Anytime anyone says the word television, an apple appears on the end of their nose that they can't get off. In other words, it's as though this is the way the universe works. And so, the show is over, and you go home, and somewhere in the next couple of days, you happen to say the word television, and boom, you see an apple attached to the end of your nose, heavy, unsightly. And it's not even a beautiful red apple, it's a green apple. Nothing you can do will make it come off. And immediately when the apple appeared, you also knew, and you don't know where you got this knowing from, but you found yourself knowing that of course you had a green apple on your nose that wouldn't come off because you said the word television. And whenever anybody says the word television, a green apple or an apple appears on the end of their nose that they can't get off. So now you know something happened, which hasn't happened, and you know why it happened. Because it always happens. It's the way the universe works. Well, you can understand that getting rid of this apple, releasing you from the inconvenience of having an apple stuck on the end of your nose, is an undoing of something that never happened. It's easy for you to see that. But let's say that you notice a lump in your breast, and it's a green apple. Is it real? Is it God-derived? Or is it an illusion that you are believing and experiencing the evidence of, which still is no more real than the apple on the end of your nose that the hypnotist said would appear as a post-hypnotic suggestion? Well, everyone, this is the way it is. You are here to be released by your friend, with a capital F, which is the Holy Spirit, which is nothing more than your right mind, your sanity. Your best friend is here to release you from a belief that you have accepted as real, and which you think you have no way to deny or get beyond because, quote, it's the way the universe works. Well, I'm sorry, it's not the way the universe works. The apple can be death. I'm here to tell you, and my life on earth was here to tell you, that death is an illusion. Don't buy it. Everybody says, oh, well, death is a part of life. In fact, there are some that have reasoned it out, that death is just simply a transition from, let's say, like ice, water moving from a solid as ice to liquid, from form to fluid, formlessness. It's like a wave and particle theory, where waves are like light and particles are like matter. And life and death are a shift from particle to wave. And then when you reincarnate, you go from wave to particle. And, my goodness, there's a whole explanation. Just like the explanation that said, hey, if you say the word television, you'll end up with an apple on your nose. Well, the explanation doesn't make it true. The fact that you can come up with an explanation and even carry it further and say that this movement from particle to wave, from solid to liquid, from definite to indefinite, is not only the way life works, but it's a way of refining your soul. And every time you're in the particle experience, you have a chance to pick up where you left off and work toward your ultimate state of divinity, we'll say. Now, if you believe these things, your friend won't have a chance with you, because your friend is going to come along and say, the apple stuck on the end of your nose isn't there at all. And I want you to let go of the definite belief you have about it, and I want you to see beyond it. I want you to see beneath it. I want you to be willing to let it go. I want you to stop being frustrated by its presence. I want you to stop reacting to it, because all the energy you bring to reacting to it makes it seem more real to you, more definite, and more stuck. I want you to be curious to see the more of what God is being right there where the apple is than what you're seeing. I want you to let me reveal to you what the truth is here. Now, as we discussed last week and the week before, every moment is a perfect opportunity to have a shift of perception. And the most perfect times to have shifts of perception is when you're disturbed. Because when you are disturbed by your own thoughts or the negative thoughts of others, you become hooked and obsessed with energizing your concern and your distress. And that holds the problem squarely in front of you, even though, because it was not placed there by the movement of God, of creation, it's not actually there. Now, I understand that this stretches you. I was going to say stretches your imagination, but it doesn't stretch your imagination. Your imagination can go even further than what I've described, but it stretches you because you're so very sure of things. When you've said television and the apple is on your nose, you're sure of it. If you feel a lump here or there, or an injury here or there, you know it. It's a fact for you. But if your friend is going to have any success in releasing you from a bondage that never actually happened, you're going to have to be willing, right in the face of your fear or your concern or your distress, to stop and be willing to stand back, in so many words, and say, what's the more of what God is being here than what I'm experiencing? I have a feeling this can't be the ultimate. Even though I've been told by others that this is the ultimate, you know, that you can move from particle to wave to particle to wave, and it's called incarnating and not being incarnated and reincarnated, reincarnating, and so on. I think maybe this isn't true, and I want to know what the truth is. Where birth and death both are swallowed up in a sudden shift of perception in which unchangeable life is my experience. Now, you trap yourselves, as I've said before, by your words. Oh, I cut myself. And your word becomes law, and you react, and you make that word real. Oh, he ran into that wall at 60 miles an hour. Wow. And that has meaning for you. Disastrous meaning. Doesn't have to have that meaning. You could say, he ran into that wall at 60 miles an hour and came out the other side without losing a fraction of a mile an hour and arrived at his destination on time. Your belief is that a wall is an impediment to movement. It's not. But your belief makes it a fact for you, and you don't challenge it. And when you say, he ran into the wall, or you say, I'm going to run into that wall, and I'm going 60 miles an hour, it doesn't have to mean the end. It simply means that you're going to go through the wall at 60 miles an hour and continue on and arrive at your destination. Now, you've got to be willing to look at these challenges or these suggestions or invitations that present themselves to you every day of negativity, of death, of sin, of sickness, of suffering, of deterioration. You've got to be willing to face them with a spontaneous willingness to see a different answer than the one you normally would declare, and by your own words bind yourself. And you have a friend whose task it is, whose pleasure it is, to share with you the vision that undoes the bondage that seems inevitable to you, because the inevitability is part of the belief of it. Well, anytime anyone says television, they're going to have an apple on the end of their nose. Anytime you hit a wall at 60 miles an hour, you're going to die. It's time to get beyond these absolute convictions that you have. You must be willing to challenge them, and challenge them with a light heart. Challenge them with a curiosity that you direct toward this friend, which is really nothing more than your right mind. The presence of God that actually constitutes you. And you've got to start doing this regularly, with joy, with really substantial interest. Because it really is time to discover the things that have never happened, so that you're left with what's really there instead of what you think happened. All of this is about undoing what never happened. And the only way you're going to arrive at the conscious experience of the fact that it didn't happen is by your willingness to withdraw your conviction that it did, and that you know what the happening meant, and you know why it happened, and you know why the results are inevitable, and why you can't possibly become free from them. Well, I know that I have lived a lot of years and I am elderly. I may feel pretty good, but you know, other people my age are dying. I turned on the news and so, who's 74 died, or somebody so-and-so who's 63 died the other day. And you make connections. You put what you think is two and two together, and you say, well, you know, just like the guy who says television gets a green apple on his nose, somebody who's 75 is bound to die. Stop it. Stop engaging in this. Don't bind yourself anymore by your words. Take your words. Take these thoughts that come to you, to your friend, because these thoughts cover something up. These thoughts put the truth in a hidden place where the truth becomes a secret that nobody knows. the truth that's covered up is your birthright to be experiencing. And we're talking about, through all of this, you're arriving at a point where truth dawns on you. Revelation occurs, a sudden shift of perception. Here's a thought about a sudden shift of perception. A sudden shift of perception is when, for some reason, you shift from a state of mind of selfishness to selflessness. Where something happens when you were engaged in trying to protect yourself or get what you thought you needed, and an event occurred that caused you to let go of that so that you might stand in a position of gifting another with something they need. Where you suddenly were inspired, right in the middle of your selfishness, to be thoughtful. To put your selfishness on the back burner so that you could take care of this situation. That's a sudden shift of perception. Where one moment you're operating in one space and the next moment you're operating in another space. A miracle is a sudden shift of perception where you were operating in a space of bondage, of limitation, of sin, sickness, death, suffering, deterioration, and on and on and on. And suddenly, as they say in the Christian churches, you were infilled with the Holy Spirit. Not some otherworldly Holy Spirit, a part of a Trinity far above and different from you, but a Holy Spirit as wonderful as you imagined as part of the Trinity, that's not out there, but is your very own sane mind. That fills you. Because you have been willing to abandon the word you have been giving to your experience that has blinded you and bound you to something that isn't real. It's time to find out that sin, sickness, and death is not real and did not ever happen. Every moment is a perfect moment to become disillusioned. Every moment is a perfect moment to become free of illusion. Unbound. And in your right mind. Now, let's go into the book, and I'm going to back up just a bit. A couple of sentences. He, the Holy Spirit, this friend, which is nothing more than your right mind, has promised the Father that through him, the Holy Spirit, you would be released from littleness to glory. To what he promised God, he is wholly faithful. For he shared with God the promise that was given him to share with you. Let's face it. If the Holy Spirit is nothing more than your right mind, then it's bound to be his purpose to reveal himself to you as you. Because that's the only thing that will bring the integrity of your being back into play. That which is nothing more than your right mind cannot help but be wholly faithful to what it is, and thereby in its active relationship with you while you're not paying any attention to who you really are, it can do nothing less than illuminate the truth of what it is as you, to you, so that there is a shift of perception. Resulting integrity of the movement of that which is nothing but your right mind is absolutely inevitable. He, the Holy Spirit, shares it still for you. For you. The Holy Spirit hasn't stopped being your friend with the intent to fulfill its promise, to fulfill its purpose. He shares it still for you. In spite of the fact that you think you're an entity with a green apple on the end of its nose that has no choice about it. Everything that promises otherwise, promises other than release, great or small, however much or little valued, he will replace with the one promise given unto him to lay upon the altar to your Father and his Son. Does that mean the Father and Jesus? No, it means the Father and you. The Holy Spirit's purpose is to lay the clear understanding of what you are at the altar of your being, which is the altar of God, and reveal you to yourself, so that you might become unconfused. No altar stands to God without his Son. And nothing brought there that is not equally worthy of both, but will be replaced by gifts wholly acceptable to Father and to Son. In other words, if you bring a gift to the altar of hate or of deceit, or if you bring a gift of a concern about an apple that's on the end of your nose that isn't really there, it's something that ends up having to be given to the Father, but you can't give a lie to the Father. Because a lie in the presence of the Father doesn't exist. It's one of those things that never happened, and that you've got to find out never happened. So nothing brought there that is not equally worthy of both, Father and Son, will be replaced by gifts wholly acceptable to Father and to Son. It will be replaced by the Holy Spirit. Can you offer guilt to God? You cannot then offer it to his Son, for they are not apart, and gifts to one are offered to the other. Oh, I know. It seems as though you can offer guilt to your brother, and it seems as though your brother can offer guilt to you. But that's a suggestion. Just like, if you say the word television, an apple will appear on the end of your nose, and nothing you can do will make it come off. And it will happen because anyone who says the word television always ends up with an apple on the end of his nose. It's the way the universe works. Again, it's time to become unstuck from what isn't true and therefore never happened. But you don't know how to distinguish between what is real and what isn't. And that's why you have a friend that can. And that's why that friend's purpose is to disclose the difference to you so that you can discard what isn't serving you and which you find no benefit in. Again, can you offer guilt or anything untrue to God? You cannot then offer it to his Son, for they are not apart, and gifts to one are offered to the other. You know not God, because you know not this. You don't know God, because you think you and God are something separate from each other. You don't know of the unity. So you know not God because you know not this. And yet, you do know God and also this. See, it's a paradox. You don't know this, and you do know this. One of the things you know isn't real, and one of the things you know is real. One of the things has happened, and one of the things has never happened. So again, all we're ever doing is undoing what never happened. And it is accomplished by getting you to be willing to look at everything with a curiosity to know what the truth is about it, instead of being confident yourself and giving the word yourself and becoming bound by it, because you know this is the way the universe works. Again, you know not God because you know not this. And yet, you do know God and also this. All this is safe within you where the Holy Spirit shines. He shines not in division, but in the meeting place where God, united with his Son, speaks to his Son through him. Communication between what cannot be divided cannot cease. Then that means that communication between God and his Son or daughter has been ceaseless. And the fact that you seem not to hear the Father is one of those things that never happened. You say, but you think, and your thinking says, yeah, but I have a lifetime of never having heard God. And if God is omnipotent, and if God is my being, then how could I possibly have lived a whole lifetime without talking with God? That's part of the hypnotist's story. Like, anyone who says the word television will end up with an apple on his nose that he can't get off. I don't care if you've spent a whole lifetime and never talked with God. I don't care if you've spent a whole lifetime and never talked with the Holy Spirit, that which is nothing more than your right mind, or nothing less than your right mind. I am saying, as you go through each day, reach for the Holy Spirit. Stop grousing because nobody told you for most of your life that you could talk to the Holy Spirit and that the Holy Spirit was nothing less than your right mind or nothing more than your right mind. Stop grousing about it. It doesn't matter. Now you know, and now you can reach. Now you can say, I wish to see everything through your vision, which is your gift to me from God. In this way, you stop acting as though you are out of your right mind, and it lays the groundwork for cohesion and unity to return in you. The holy meeting place of the unseparated Father and his Son, you see, separation never happened. It's one of those things. It never happened. You believe it happened. You believe you've lived a life separated, not connected with God, and having to somehow gain his respect and gain his love by somehow overcoming your sinfulness. Blah, blah, blah. The holy meeting place of the unseparated Father and his Son lies in the Holy Spirit and in you. That's the truth that has forever been happening. All interference in the communication that God Himself wills with His Son is quite impossible here. Unbroken and uninterrupted love flows constantly between the Father and the Son, as both would have it be. Both would have it be that way because that is the way the universe works. That is what happens. That is what has happened. And so it is. Are you beginning to see how practical it is to challenge, quote, being old, unquote, to challenge the meanings you've given to it, to challenge the meanings everyone else has given to it, that has caused, for lack of better words, a hypnotic suggestion that everybody is obedient to. And so they walk around, like the one with an apple on his nose, behaving like they're old and having the expectations that old people have and not having expectations that 18-year-olds have or 30-year-olds and not engaging in the things that a 40-year-old would gladly tackle. Well, I'm not going to be here long enough to finish that project. No point in starting that. Well, you see the foot go sink into the ground on its way into the grave? Stop giving your definitions and start asking, how do I go through a wall at 60 miles an hour and come out the other side without having lost any time at all? How do I be 70 years old? How do I be 90 years old and feel like tackling a new project with gusto? How do I let go of the doubts that are instilled in me that say it's useless to take on a new project at 90 years old? Start asking these questions of who? Of that which is nothing more than your right mind, your sanity. It's there for you. It is there with a cause. It's there with a promise to fulfill, a promise made to God. It is the purpose of your mind, your right mind, to uncover and bring forth you in your right mind, no longer bound by strange ideas. Let your minds wander not through darkened corridors, away from light's center. You may choose to lead yourselves astray, but you can only be brought together by the guide appointed for you. He will surely lead you to where God and His Son await your recognition. He will surely lead you to where God and you in your right mind, knowing you are God's Son, await your recognition. Atonement. Coming back into your right mind. Being sane again. Not being hypnotized and believing the hypnotic suggestion. They, God and His Son, are joined in giving you the gift of oneness before which all separation vanishes. Everything about your being is geared toward your regaining your sanity and becoming free of that which never happened, even though your education has said all of what never happened did indeed happen and is going to continue to happen. It's an ongoing cycle of life, period. No ands, ifs, or buts. Unite with what you are. You cannot join with anything except reality. God's glory and His Son's belong to you in truth. They have no opposite, and nothing else can you bestow upon yourselves. You remember? What do you want? Truth or illusion? Truth is the awareness that what never happened, never happened, which means that truth is the awareness of what is and always has been. There is no substitute for truth, and truth will make this plain to you as you are brought into the place where you must meet with truth. Your friend brings you there. But you have to say to your friend, bring me there. You have to say to your friend, I wish to see everything through your vision, which is your gift to me from God. If you do not abandon the right you think you have to think for yourself and come to conclusions on your own, you will not benefit from this friend and will not experience the return of your sanity because your mind has become integrated, because you've let sanity return. Truth will make this plain to you as you are brought into the place where you must meet with truth. And there you must be led. See, that's what's hard for the orphan mentality, for the self-determined one. Being led is insulting. But being independent is what keeps you isolated from your sanity. And your sanity is what you really want. There you must be led through gentle understanding, which can lead you nowhere else. Where God is, there are you. Such is the truth. Nothing can change the knowledge given you by God into unknowingness. It seems to have, but that's one of the things that never happened. You cannot actually be in a state of unknowingness. All there is to be known, all of creation, awaits your conscious experience of it because it's your birthright to be experiencing it. To not be experiencing it is something you think is actual, just like the hypnotized one believes that the apple on his nose is actual, but it's not. Everything God created knows its creator. For this is how creation is accomplished, by the creator and by his creations. In the holy meeting place are joined the Father and his creations, and the creations of his Son with them together. There is one link which joins them all together, holding them in the oneness out of which creation happens. So as you're willing to invite this friend to reveal to you what the truth is here and here and here and here, you are inviting the opening in you that will allow you to move into the very depths of the movement of creation with the Father, in which your eternal life is known by you, and the idea of age and all the beliefs associated with it mean nothing. And where the belief of having an apple stuck on your nose, or illnesses, or death, or deterioration also mean nothing. And all of these things will mean nothing right here, right where you are. Because you'll see the chair as it really is, and you'll see your fingernails and your body as it really is. As creation itself, which is immutable, unchangeable, not subject to death, able to pass through walls at, like a speeding bullet. Experience no impediments. So as I said last week, take every apparently innocuous moment, every seemingly regular moment, and be curious, because it speaks of God and it speaks of creation, because that's what it is. And it's your birthright to be experiencing it for what it is, and to find out that what you thought it was never happened. Therein lies your freedom, your healing, your blessing, your awakening. And I wish you a glorious week. I love you all.